This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Researchers report that alcohol, opioids, psychostimulants, and nicotine have different chemical structures. However, they seem to use similar neurochemical pathways in the brain, which lead to addiction. Nicotine, the active ingredient in cigarettes and smokeless tobacco, is a drug. It is considered to be as addictive as cocaine or heroin. Researchers have reported that only 5% of smokers who try to quit on their own without some kind of assistance are successful.
We're joined in the studio by Dr. Derek Poderico, who is director of the Central Island Smoking Intervention Clinic at Nanaimo Regional General Hospital on Vancouver Island. Welcome to People First Radio, Derek.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Studies comparing alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, and nicotine have found that the prevalence of dependence across that range of substances has shown nicotine to have the highest, what is called dependence liability. In other words, the highest prevalence of dependence among those exposed to the substance. Tell us more about that whole range.
Well, it's definitely a challenging drug if you're addicted to it, that is, to help quit or become free from it. And as a physician that deals with all the other addictions, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, it is true, you know, in the office we see these addictions across the board, and yet nicotine or cigarette addiction seems to be the most prevalent and one of the most difficult to treat. And it's interesting, and I'll take a jab at the government. Helping a person quit smoking still in a physician's office is not covered by our medical services plan. If you come in with a cocaine addiction and want help, hey, you'll get help, and naturally the government and MSP pays for it. But nicotine addiction still has this taboo because they feel it's a lifestyle choice, and it is not. I mean, it's something that needs to be reconfigured. But anyways, that's why we decided to start the Central Island Smoking Intervention Clinic and help people in a very structured program.
Does society view smoking and the use of smokeless tobacco as a drug addiction? Does society view it as that type of addiction?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think we're still changing the context in our society. I mean, the government still thinks it's a lifestyle choice, and it's far from that. Other individuals, even those that smoke, think, oh, it's just a bad habit I have, and I can quit that habit any time. And truth be known, I mean, as you were saying about the different substances in the brain and how the chemicals portray, it's an addiction, hard and simple. So, yes, there's a lot of myth around it not being an addiction, but it is very much so.
Why does that myth exist, and why is there reluctance to view a nicotine addiction as addiction?
That's a wonderful question, one of which I have many answers to. But I think the biggest thing is the evolution of tobacco. Back in the 1950s, you know, the movie stars and even doctors were on TV. I have some wonderful clips. I mean, you can look at them on YouTube, where doctors are on TV showing people, hey, after a hard day at work, go home and have a smoke and you'll feel better. And then, as said, in the 60s, there was some evidence, ooh, this stuff may not be great for us. And then, as you know, with the big tobacco corporations, I mean, there's been it's not addictive. And that brought us up until the 1990s, where it finally came to be known with the scientific and medical research that, hey, those parts of the brain that light up with other addictions are very much the same with nicotine. And as said, the culture is shifting. I think, again, our societies, or at least Western societies, are seeing this truly is an addiction, and that's why all these sort of governmental policies around where and when to smoke type thing. But I mean, in the rest of the world, and I always sort of bring the third world or developing world into this, because of the 1.3 billion people on our planet that do smoke, 1.1 billion live in developing countries where they're way behind. So, like I say, I know I've gone off topic a little bit with the question, but it's been an evolution. First from a denial from the corporations and even the medical community. Medical community is obviously on board to know that this is where it's at, but, you know, good old tobacco companies are still going to say, no, it's not addictive. We can talk a little bit more about that.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
Cigarette smoking is the number one cause of preventable death and disability. Smoking-related illnesses such as cancer, heart disease, stroke, and emphysema continue to kill more smokers than accidents, alcohol, street drugs, homicides, and AIDS combined. Last year in Canada, 37,000 people died from tobacco-related illness. The Central Island Smoking Intervention Clinic, located in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, provides comprehensive counseling and effective treatments for smoking cessation. We're speaking with the clinic's director, Dr. Derek Poderico.
How am I empty? How am I empty? How am I empty? How am I empty? How will my energy? How will my energy? How will my energy? How will my energy? Now, look at them smokers. That's the way you do it. Quit smoking with an RT. Nicotine replacement. That's the way you do it. Yeah, giving them nothing, and you'll be free.
Now that ain't working, quitting cold turkey. Let me tell you now, that ain't fun. Maybe use a patch or inhaler. Maybe use a lozenge gum.
We gotta break free from this addiction.
That song was from a video called Quit Quitting, filmed in Nanaimo and available in its entirety on YouTube. Quit Quitting is the story of Joe Smoker, who is hospitalized with a smoking-related illness. Smoking cessation specialist Dr. Derek Poderico and friends help Joe quit for good. Quit Quitting is an interactive bedside teaching video with exercises for smoking cessation. Dr. Derek Poderico, who has also created the video, joins us in the studio. Derek, tell us about the video, why you created it, and what it presents.
Well, great question in the sense that it was always something we've wanted to do, just have some fun in terms of in front of the camera. And the fact that we had a captured audience at the hospital, in the sense that there was really and still isn't much to help people quit smoking. We talk a little bit about patch, but the counseling available is still very limited with everyone's times and resources. So we said, hey, why don't we put something out that actually is very available and very self-paced. As I said, everybody that's in the hospital that might be in there for smoking-related illness may not be ready to quit, but at least there's a comedic element to it because it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there, to just get them to think about quitting. So they may not quit, but at least it'll open up some new channels for them to maybe attempt down the road.
Now, the song that we just listened to, I Want My NRT, NRT, Nicotine Replacement Therapy, how does it work and why does it work?
I'll just put a plug in. That was written by our hospital's pharmacist, David Forbes. So I know he did a great job. So NRT, or nicotine replacement therapy, is one of the substances that are in cigarettes. As you may know, there's over 4,000 substances in cigarettes that cause them to be so smooth and addictive. But it's the nicotine part that really gets a person hooked. So nicotine, and the big myth, again, about nicotine does not cause cancer. So it is a wonderful replacement to consider if you're really ready to quit. Back to the nicotine replacement, it's used, and again, right up front, if you're a smoker out there and said, yeah, I tried the patch for 3 days and it didn't work, a lot of time it's user-dependent. So to get help, talk to your healthcare professional, talk to the pharmacist that's selling them, because a lot of times it's not used properly. And if it's used in a consistent manner with counseling or, as said, with the healthcare professional, because there's medications out there to help too, then your chances for success increase greatly.
The Canadian Mental Health Association reports that for people with mental illness and or addictions, tobacco use rates can exceed 70%. The organization observes that there is clearly more work to be done to support this population. Tell us more about tobacco cessation among people with mental illnesses and or other addictions.
Yeah, and that's a target population that the good old big tobacco corporations target sort of on purpose because they are vulnerable to that. Interesting enough, though, nicotine or at least cigarettes in themselves have antidepressant properties. So you can see the setup here is that if you have a concomitant depression or other mental health issue, you will self-medicate with cigarettes so that you're caught between a rock and a hard place. So when we help patients through our clinic, I mean, we definitely do address the mental health issues, including depression. We'll do something called a PHQ-9. And by the way, online, you can actually do that quiz if you Google PHQ-9. And it's a personal health questionnaire, and it'll find out if you are depressed or have symptoms consistent with depression, which is a great segue then to go to your healthcare professional and get help before you quit. You know what I'm saying?
Now, we're having this discussion a couple of weeks before the new year, and before we went on air today, we were chatting with you about this, and you said that January 1st is not a good day to choose to quit. Why is that?
Okay, yeah, and I said at this time of the year, it's the time to reflect and say, you know what, in the new year, I'm going to do something good and healthy, and that's awesome. I mean, I never say to patients, I mean, the best time to quit smoking, right now. I mean, there's no doubts about that, but sometimes it does take preparation. So with all the stress and hoopla of the holiday season, it is sometimes better to sort of pick past the New Year's Day, because a lot of people try the New Year's Day for a day or two or three and then they fall off their proverbial bike and then don't try for the rest of the year. So that's why the Canadian Cancer Society has actually made a day, a quit day, and I'll encourage anybody out there that's smoking to try at least for 24 hours. And that's actually Wednesday, January 19th, and that's called Weedless Wednesday. And as I said, people that are smokers are encouraged to try 24 hours. As I said, if you need to get supports, there's lots out there. I mean, obviously, our clinic at the hospital, if you go to cisic.ca, we have a lot of the other resources. And then quitnow.ca at 1-877-455-2233. That's free counseling. And they can send you resources so you're ready for next month.
Dr. Derek Poderico, of the addictive substances that we mentioned, those being alcohol, cocaine, are the prevalent ones. Now, cigarettes are the worst. They're also the only ones that the government profits from in taxes, and that's why maybe those companies are more pushing to get the sales up. Now, I also noticed that it's the only one that's not covered by health care. In terms of getting the help to quit, what are your comments on that?
That's the double-edged sword of the fact that the government profits from taxes on cigarettes. You know, billions and billions of dollars come from cigarettes and their profits to government and obviously to the corporations. And yeah, that's right. MSP does not cover. So it is a very odd relationship because the government's saying let's not pay for the help, and yet they're profiting from the addiction. So yeah, it's very weird. But as a doctor, we've had the clinic open since 2004. I've just sort of put my head down and just keep working. When those people want help, we give them the help. I said, yeah, the clinic at the hospital, one has to pay for the classes or the one-on-one counseling, but there's a lot of free help. We've got the video online. I did write a book in the last year, and it's at the library. There's three copies. As I said, there's lots of new and neat things out there, and I'll just encourage anybody that's wanting to quit smoking, give our clinic a call, and as I said, I'm happy to talk with you and at least point you in the right direction.
Thanks very much, Dr. Poderico, for taking the time to come in and join us today.
Well, it's been an honor. Thanks for your time.
We really appreciated it. Dr. Derek Poderico is director of the Central Island Smoking Intervention Clinic, which provides comprehensive counseling and effective treatments for smoking cessation. The clinic is located at Nanaimo Regional General Hospital on Vancouver Island. You can find the clinic online at cisic.ca. You can also find Dr. Poderico online at mediatherapy.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.